Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Yevamos daf Pei Zayin, the last daf of the ninth parak of Maseches Yevamos, and Bezrat Hashem, the beginning of the tenth parak of Maseches Yevamos. We left off on daf Pei Vav Amid Beis at the Mishnah on the bottom of the page on Pei Vav Amid Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children. It is also sponsored by Eric Kotkin, in memory of his grandfather, Alexander Ben Peretz Halevi, Nesham Shevin Aliyah. And it is also sponsored by my dear friend, Rabbi Meir Simcha Stromer, in honor of my wife and myself. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So we are holding on Daf Pei Vav Amid Beis. We are at the Mishnah on Pei Vav Amid Beis. And again, today's daf is going to discuss the following topics. We're going to talk about the rights of a woman to eat truma on account, or meiser for that matter, on account of her marriage to a Kohen or to a Levi. When those rights run out, if she gets divorced, if the husband dies, if she has a child from them, doesn't have a child from them, what if the same woman in different marriages married a Kohen and then married a Levi and then married a Yisrael and had children from each one? What if she did it in the opposite direction? She was a Bas Kohen and she married a Yisrael, and then she married a Levi, then she married a Kohen, and she has children from each one. So the Mishnah is going to go through all of those permutations. Then the Gemara is going to discuss five different makoros, why it is that a Bas Kohen does not go back lebeis avia to eat chaz v'shok, meaning a Bas Kohen who is married to Yisrael and the husband dies and she doesn't have any children, she goes back to eating her father's truma, but chaz v'shok, to eating the kachim that are matnos kuhuna, she does not go back to do that. She does not have a right to do. So we're going to have five different limudim of how we know that that's actually true. Then the Gemara on Amud Beis is going to question four different halachos. The Gemara is going to raise shailas on the top of Amud Beis on four different halachos. And then the beginning of the next parak, of the tenth parak, is going to discuss the tragic case of a woman whose husband went to Medina Sayyam. She was under the impression that her husband died. So she went and she got remarried, and then her husband came home. So what are the halachos now as far as her marriages, as far as uksuba, as far as the Yerusha, as far as the yichus of her children from the second marriage? What are the halachos in terms of all that? And the Mishnah is going to discuss whether it depends on if she was allowed to get married or not allowed to get married, meaning was she given a heter by Beis Din or not? And there are two different types of heterim she can get. One heter is that two eidim came and told her that her husband is dead. There's nothing more than that you could possibly have other than an actual body. And the second heter is if one eid came back and Beis Din allowed her to get remarried, which Beis Din does. Normally we don't believe two Eidim, but in the case of Aguna, we believe one Eid that the husband had died. So are there different halachos in terms of that? And that's going to be discussed in the Mishnah as well. So let's begin with the Mishnah on Daf Pei Vav Amud Beis. So the Mishnah discusses the halachos of a woman after her husband dies, as far as her rights to be able to eat truma, her rights to be able to eat meiser. So Bas Yisrael Shenisis LeKohen, you have a Bas Yisrael who marries a Kohen. Good, tochel b'truma. She's allowed to eat truma because she's now married to a Kohen. Meis, if her Kohen husband dies, v'lahe menu ben, but she has a son from that Kohen, she has a child from that Kohen, so tochel b'truma, she could still eat truma on account of that child. Niseis, l'levi, if now her husband is dead, she's got a Kohen son, but she decides to go marry a Levi. Now, tochel b'meiser, she can eat meiser together with her Levi husband, but not truma, even though she has a son from her Kohen husband, but now she's married to a Levi, and her marriage to the Levi overrides and makes it that she's also to eat truma. Meis, if the Levi then dies, v'lahe menu ben, and she has a child from that Levi, tochel b'meiser, she can eat meiser of that Levi, even though he's no longer here, because he left a son behind. And even though she has a son from the Kohen as well, she's not allowed to eat truma because the son from the Levi passes her from eating truma on account of the son from the Kohen. If then, now she's single, so she's on the market again. So now, Niseis li Yisrael, she now goes and marries a Yisrael. The pashtus of the Mishnah is that she's allowed to go and do that. In that goes Paras Yosef in the back of the Gemara. He says, why isn't she considered a katlanis? We have a machlokas Tanayim, whether it betrays him, avi chazaka, or tlasas imni avi chazaka, whether a chazaka is created two times or three times, but when it comes to pikuach nefesh, we're machmir like the shita of Rebbe that betrays imni avi chazaka. So if twice she buried husbands, we assume that she's a katlanis. She should not be allowed to get remarried. So he suggests that maybe the Gemara is going, there's a machlokas why it is that we assume a woman becomes a katlanis when several husbands die. Why do we assume that just because husbands have died in the past, it means that whoever she's going to marry dies? So one possibility is mazala garim, that her bad mazal causes her husbands to die. The other possibility is mayana garim, that we assume she has some sort of disease that she transmits to the husband, and that's why they keep on dying. So maybe we're going like the shita that assumes, says the Paras Yosef, we're going like the shita that assumes that mayana garim, that it's because of some disease that she has, and we know that these husbands didn't die of any disease. That normally we assume a woman is a katlanis because she has some sort of transmittable disease. But we know that the husband didn't die of the disease. The husband got hit by a truck. The husband drowned. It had nothing to do with the disease. So then you would not say that she's a katlanis. Alternatively, the Radvaz writes in the Tshuva in Chelik Beis, Simon Tafresh Pei Beis, that even if you hold Mazel Garam, if he's Yotzei L'Melchama, or he puts himself in a place of great Sakana, we don't assume that that's her Mazel that got him killed. We assume it's because he was B'makom Sakana that got him killed. So in that case, even though the husband died, the Kohen or the Levi and the Levi may have died, but they died because they were putting themselves in dangerous places all the time. They were skydiving instructors. So I don't know, they were always putting themselves in B'makom Sakana. So that has nothing to do with her mazel, and therefore she would be allowed to get remarried. So back to this woman. She had married a Kohen, had a child from the Kohen. Kohen died. She married a Levi, had a child from the Levi. Levi died. And now, Nises to Yisrael. She marries the Yisrael. Lo tocha, lo betrumah, lo b'meiser. On account of her marriage to the Yisrael, she's like a Yisraelis. So she can't eat truma, nor can she eat meiser. And the Mishnah assumes, like the whole Mishnah, and even the first Mishnah, the next parak assumes like the Shita of Rabbi Meir, that holds that a Zar is not allowed to eat Meiser either. That even though we don't pasken that way, we hold a non-Levi is allowed to eat Meiser Rishon. When we keep talking about an Isser for the woman to eat Meiser, we're assuming that if she's not a Levi, she's not allowed to eat Meiser. That someone who's not a Levi or part of a Levi's household is not allowed to eat Meiser. That's the sheet of the Tana, Rabbi Meir. Meis, if this third husband, the Yisrael, dies, V'lahe menu ben, and she has a son from him, lo tocha, lo b'truma, v'lo b'meiser. She can't eat truma or meiser on account of the son that she has from Yisrael. Meis benami Yisrael, if the son from the Yisrael now dies, so now she has two sons, one from the Kohen and one from the Levi, so tocha b'meiser. She can go back to eating meiser, still not truma, because she still has the son from the Levi that passes her from eating truma. Meis benami Levi, if then her son from the Levi dies, tocha b'truma. She goes back to eating truma because she still has the son from the Kohen. Mace Benami Kohen, and then if tragically all of her children, the son that she has from the Kohen dies as well, then lo tocha, lo b'truma, v'lo b'meiser. Now she's disqualified from eating truma meiser again. She's back to being a regular Bas Yisrael because she has no husband and she has no children. So she's just a regular Bas Yisrael who cannot eat truma, nor can she eat meiser. So now the Mishnah talks about, okay, that was if she was a Bas Yisrael who married in sequence a Kohen, Levi, and Yisrael. So we discussed what happens. She has a child from each of them, and followed by each one dying, and then each of the children dying in reverse order. Now we're going to talk about what if she's a Bas Kohen. So a Bas Kohen, she nises Yisrael, and she goes in the opposite direction. We're going to go through the same same three marriages, but in the other direction. So she's a Bas Kohen who's going to marry a Yisrael, then a Levi, then a Kohen. So you have a Bas Kohen, she nises Yisrael. A Bas Kohen marries Yisrael. Lo tochel b'truma. That's a very fundamental. She's now part of her husband's house, so she can no longer eat truma. Mace, if her Yisrael husband dies, and she has a son from that husband, she still can't eat truma because her czar son passes her from eating truma. So now that her first husband died, Nisei Salevi, she goes and she marries a Levi. Tochal b'meiser, she can eat meiser rishon like her husband can, but she still can't eat. But now she can't eat truma because the Levi passes from eating truma. Meis, if the Levi then dies, v'lahe menu ben, and she has a son from the Levi, tochal b'meiser, she may continue eating meiser on account of that son. Now Nises LeKohen, she goes and she marries a Kohen, right? Meaning the first, I misspoke a second ago. She married a Yisrael first, then a Levi. So obviously she wasn't going to eat Truma because she had a son from the Yisrael. Anyway, she was nowhere. She had no Sheichus LeBeis Aviyah. So either the son from the Yisrael or the son from the Levi would disqualify her from eating Truma. So, but the point is that if she marries the Levi, she can eat Meiser. If she has a son from the Levi, even after the Levi dies, she may continue to eat Meiser. And now, she certainly cannot eat Truma, but now Nisei's the Kohen. Now she marries her third husband, the Kohen, Tochal B'Truma. Now she eats Truma, even though she still has children from her previous marriages. She still has a son from a Yisrael and a son from a Levi. She's allowed to eat Truma. Meis V'Lahei Menu Ben, and if she has a son from the Kohen, and the Kohen dies, Tochal B'Truma. She could still continue to eat Truma, because the Kohen's son could be Machal, his mother, Truma, even if she were a Bas Yisrael. So certainly she's a Bas Kohen that we're talking about over here. The Kohen's son is going to be able to be machil his mother Truma. The Aruch Hanukkah says, wait a second, why isn't this directly against the Reisha? In the Reisha, when we spoke about Bas Yisrael, who was married to a Kohen, Levi of Yisrael, we said that if she has children from each of them, she's not allowed to eat Truma or Meiser, that the child from the Yisrael disqualifies her from Meiser, the child from the Levi disqualifies her from Truma, so she's not allowed to eat Truma and Meiser. Now we're saying she had three dead husbands and she has three living children, one from each of the dead husbands, and she's allowed to eat Truma. Isn't that against what we said in the Reisha? So the Aruch Hanukkah says the obvious chiluk, that in the Reisha we're talking about a Bas Yisrael. Over here we're talking about a Bas Kohen, meaning Ba'atzmusa, when you look at her herself, where she comes from, the stuff she's made of, she's really a Kohen. So the combination of the fact that she has a Kohen child, plus the fact that she really is a Bas Kohen, that combination is what enables her to eat Truma, as opposed to the case in the Reisha, where she was Be'etzem a Bas Yisrael. So then the Kohen child will not be allowed to feed her Truma, because she also has a Levi child and a Yisrael child. Meis Benami Kohen, now the children start dying in reverse order. The son from the Kohen dies, Lo Tochal B'Truma. Even though she is a Bas Kohen, she cannot eat Truma, because she still has children from the Levi and from the Yisrael. Meis Benami Levi, if the son from the Levi dies, Lo Tochal B'Mai, now she's disqualified from eating Meiser because she still has a ben from the Yisrael. Meis Benami Yisrael, if the third child dies from the Yisrael, or really her first child dies, Choseres LeBeis Aviyah, then she can go back to her father's house and eat Truma there. Valzunemar V'shavel Beis Aviyah Kinureha Milechem Aviyah Tochal. That's what the Pasuk says, that when a woman who's a Bas Kohen gets married and then her husband dies and she doesn't have any children, she goes back to her father's house and can eat the Truma of her father's house. So now, the Reisha had said that a Bas Yisrael that was married to a Kohen and had a child from the Kohen, and after the husband died, she married a Levi, and then that husband died, she married a Yisrael, and they had children of all three of them. So when the ben that's no longer Yisrael dies, and Meis Benami Levi, and the Bna that's no Lami Levi dies, Tochal B'Truma. She can go back to eating Truma on account of the son that was born to her from a Kohen. So Dahadra Achlu Mishum Bna Minalan. How do I know that's true? That a Bas Yisrael, even after she went and she married the Yisrael and she became possible from eating Truma, she can go back to eating Truma because of a son that's already in existence and has been in existence all the time. Meaning we know that when you have a Bas Yisrael who marries a Kohen, she can eat Truma. We know that if there's a child from that marriage, she may continue to eat Truma even after the husband dies. But how do I know that that she can go back to eating Truma on account of a child that's been there all along? He was there when she was married to Yisrael also, and she wasn't allowed to eat Truma then. And now that her Yisrael husband dies, she's allowed to go ahead and eat Truma. So Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav. How do I know it? I know it from Bas Ubas. The pasuk says, "Uvas Kohen Kisia Almanu Grusha V'Shavel Beis Aviyah Kinurei Milechem Aviyah Tochal." It could have said Bas from the fact that it says Uvas. We're marbe that even a Bas Yisrael that's Ru'i L'Truma on account of her son and then became pasul through her marriage to Yisrael, that when the Yisrael husband dies without leaving any children behind, she goes back to eating Truma. So it says Gemara Keman, Rabbi Akiva, the Darish Vavi, this seems to be assuming, like the sheet of Rabbi Akiva, that you're allowed to make such a drasha, that an extra Vav in a Pasuk is, gives us something to darshan. That is, in fact, the sheet of Rabbi Akiva, Mesech Sanhedrin, Daphne Nalvim Beis, he says, Yishma Elachi, Bas Ubas Ani Doresh. Rabbi Akiva says to Rabbi Shmuel that I will darshan, that's what Rashi quotes over here, that I will darshan the extra Vav. So it says, Mer Na, Filutem Rabbanan. You could even assume like the Rabbanan who don't darshan an extra Vav. Kula ubas kray yaseiruhu. Over here, it's not about the extra vav, it's about the extra word. The previous pasuk already said ubas koin kisiel the ishzar. So it should have then said, v'chisi alman o grusha. That same woman we've been talking about, if she becomes an alman or a grusha. But it doesn't. It goes back and it says, ubas koin kisiel alman o grusha. Why does it have to repeat the whole word? So that's why we have a drasha, even if you assume like the Rabbanan, even not like Rabbi Akiva, who darshan's vavin. Now, Bas Kohen, who is married to Yisrael, if the Yisrael dies, or she gets divorced from the Yisrael, and there are no children from that marriage, goes back to eating her father's truma. So the Gemara brings a brisa that that's only legabe truma, but she does not go back to eating kachim. Tan Rabban, she chozeres, when she goes back, lebeis avia, after her husband dies, chozeres le truma, ve'enu chozeres le chaz v'shok. She goes back to eating truma, but she does not go back to chaz v'shok. Now, importantly, this brisa is talking about is going on the what the pasuk says, that a bas kohen who is married to Yisrael and the husband dies goes back to eating truma. That's where we say yes truma but no kachim. However, in our Mishnah where we spoke about a bas Yisrael that goes back to eating truma because of her son that was no lad mi kohen, meaning that she had a child from the kohen, and that's what she's going back to. She's not going back to her father's house. She's going back to her husband's house, her deceased husband's house, because she had a son from that kohen. In that case, she'd be able to go back to Chaz v'Shok as well. So not to get confused, there are two separate halachos over here of a woman who was not allowed to eat truma and is now allowed to eat truma again. You have a woman who's a bas kohen, was married to somebody else, and now is going back lebeis aviyah. That's the halacha we're talking about over here, where she goes back to truma, but not to Chaz v'Shok. But then you have the cases in our Mishnah, the first case in our Mishnah, where she was a bas Yisrael, who was married to a kohen, then wasn't married to a kohen, who was married to Yisrael, then goes back to that original husband's home because she has, not his home, but she then goes back to that connection to the original husband because she has a son from that original husband. In that case, she even goes back to Chaz v'Shok. But we're discussing why it is when a woman goes back to her father's house and she's a bas kohen, she does not get Chaz v'Shok. Five explanations. Amar Rav Chista Amar Ravina Bar Shila Maikra. Where do we learn this did? Because the pasuk says, he betrumas hakachim lo tochal. So we darshan bimura min hakachim lo tochal. That chaz v'shok, which are that which is taken from a carbon shlamim, she'll never be allowed to eat even after she's divorced from her Yisrael husband. Rav Nachman amar Rav Baravua. Rav Nachman says the name of Rav Baravua, that we learned this din from a different pasuk. The pasuk says milechem, and it doesn't say, and we darshan v'lo kol lechem. That the pasuk says v'shavel beisavia kinura milechem aviha tochal, that when she goes back to her father's house, she eats milechem aviyah, which we assume means truma. So we're saying milechem, but not kol lechem. She can't eat everything from her father's table, so she's not allowed to eat chaz v'shok from the father's table. Maskev la rami bar chama, ema prat la afaras nadarim. How do I know to be mimayit chaz v'shok when she goes back to beis aviyah? Maybe the pasuk is coming to be mimayit, that even though she goes back after her husband dies to be treated like a bas kohen, that's as far as achilas truma, but she doesn't go back as far as her father being able to be made for her nedarim, like he was made for her nedarim before she got married. Maybe it's not about being mimayit chaz v'shok. Maybe it's just about being mimayit the father's ability to be made for her nedarim. So Amarava kvar paska tana de Rabbi Shmuel. Now Rabbi Shmuel already taught her brisa that misvara, that since she goes back, she leaves Rosh Hashavia, she's not. He will no longer ever be able to be made for her nedarim again, even when her husband dies. I don't need a limud for that. There's already a Tanna de Rabbi Shmuel that taught us that did. The Tanna de Rabbi Shmuel, the Tanna de Rabbi
Bishal taught us, Nedra Almanu Grusha Yakum Aleha. Pasuk says, Nedra Almanu Grusha Kalash Rasval Nafsha Yakum Aleha. So, Matam Lomer, what's the Pasuk telling me that the Nedra of an Almanu Grusha is going to stand? Valo Mutsu Meklal Av, Mutsu Meklal Baal. Why does the Pasuk have to tell me that a Nedra of an Almana is a Nedra that no one could be made for? Who would be made for it? She's an Almana. Her husband's no longer here, or she's a Grusha. Her husband's no longer connected to her. And she was Yotzei Merusha Sa'av. So obviously no one's going to be able to be made for her Nedarim. So you see right there, Misvara, before we get to the whole limud that the Gemara is going to make from that Pasuk, Misvara, it's assumed that of course once the father lost the rights to be made for her Nedarim, those rights are never going to come back. Once she already got married to somebody, when she gets divorced or the husband, or she becomes an Almana, those rights of Afaras Nedarim are never going to come back. And therefore, when we darshan Milechem V'lo Kalla, it's coming to be Mimait Chaz V'Shok. It's not coming to be Mimait Hafaras Nedarim. But what is this Pasuk talking about? If it can't be saying something that's so obvious that a regular Amanu Grusha, that there's no one to be made for in the Darim, Ela Hare Shemasra Av L'Shluch Ebal. Now the case is, we're talking about where the father gave his Ketana or Nara daughter to Shluch Ebal, to go bring her to the husband's house for marriage. O shemasu shluche av l'shluche abal. Or the father sent her with shluchim, and those shluchim give her over to the shluche abal, v'nis armela onis garsha baderech. And before she ever made it to the husband's house, the husband dropped dead or sent a shliach with a get to divorce her. Sahecha nikariba, which pasuk should we say about her as far as hafaras nedarim? Beis avia shalzo, or beis baila shalzo? The Torah says the din of hafaras nedarim of the father to his daughter. It says, v'asra isar Bives Aviha Binura. When it describes Baal Ishto, a husband being made for his wife's nedarim, it says the Bais Isha Nidara, that if she takes a nedar while she's in her husband's house. So this woman, is she considered to be Bives Aviha because she never completely left the Rishus of the father because she never went into the husband's home and therefore the father could be made for Nidara? Or maybe she's considered that she's already gone into the husband's home because she's out of the father's home and right now she's an Almana and therefore the father lost the rights to be made for the Nidarim. So we don't know which of these psukim to apply. Elo lomer lach, so that's why the pasuk tells you, kiven sheyatzo sha'achs mishusav, shuvin yachal ofer. Once the father's shluchim gave her over to the shluchei abal, she left the rishus ha'av. From that moment, he cannot be made for the nedarim. But from the very beginning of the brisa, we see that you don't need a miut from mi lechem velo kol lechem to tell me that the father can't be made for the nedarim. Of course the father can't be made for the nedarim. So therefore, mi lechem velo kol lechem tells me that she's not allowed to have chaz v'shok, that when her husband dies and she goes back to her father's home, she's not allowed to have chaz v'shok. So that's the second limud of how I know she's not allowed to have chaz v'shok. So now the Gemara brings three more limudim. So limud number three, Rav Safra Amar, we're medayik from the pasuk mi lechem aviyah tochal lechem v'lo basar. It's not mi lechem v'lo kol lechem. Chaz v'shok's not lechem at all. It's from the fact that we say, what does she go back to eat? She goes back to eat lechem. Chaz v'shok is basar. So apparently she's not allowed to go back and eat basar. Well, isn't that the more obvious drasha, right? It sounds like lechem v'lo basar is the more obvious drasha. Elamai, you have to say that lechem is also a generic term, that at least the shita of Rav Nachman, Amar Barvua, who didn't make this drasha, said mi lechem v'lo kal lechem, understands that lechem is a generic term for meals, for food, and therefore basar would be included in lechem. So that's why they don't want to say like Rav Safra. Rav Papa Amar, a fourth limud. Mi lechem aviyah tochal, lechem akoni lavia, prat luchaz v'shok ni mishulchan gavah kazachu. Mi lechem aviyah tochal means she goes back to eat stuff that actually belongs to her father, because truma actually belongs to her father, as opposed to chaz v'shok, which a kohen has rights to, but it's not his. The chaz v'shok is given mishulchan gavah. It's not called lechem aviyah, because it's not the mamun of the kohen. But by truma, the Torah tells us that Yisrael is supposed to give Kohanim Truma, and therefore it's Dine Mamonis, it belongs to the Kohanim. It's considered Mamono Shel Kohen. That's why when a Zar eats Truma, he has to make the Kohen whole, even if it's Meduma, even if it's not Meduma, even if it's Batel, the Halach is Midrabanan at least. That if, let's say, you have one Sah of Truma that gets mixed in with 100 Sin of Chulin, so it's 100-1 ratio, it's enough to be Mevatel the Truma. The Halach is, you still have to take out one Sah from that mixture and give it to a kohen because it was mamono shel kohen. It belongs to the kohen. You have to make the kohen whole from a dine mamonis perspective. So that's certainly the pashas what the Gemara is telling us. That dine mamonis, a kohen owns his truma. That's and it's not mishulchan gavoa, unlike chaz v'shok. In the paas hashulchan, he says that it's a kasha from here on the Rashba. The Rashba writes that when one is mafresh truma, the bracha should be al hafrashas truma, not al nesinas truma. And his svara is that since kohanim are mishulchan gavah kazachu, you're not really giving them truma. Just by being mafresh it, you're designating this and declaring this to be truma. Mimela belongs to the ribono shalom, and the ribono shalom is giving it to the kohanim. So even though you may be doing a physical nesina, you're not the one that's actually being nosein. So that seems to be against this gemara, because this gemara seems to be assuming, yes, you are. It's dinimamnis. Pashto said, why is there a bracha of ala frashas truma? Because that's what you're doing at that moment. There are two mitzvahs by truma. That's what the Tosfos Rid says. The Nadav Yehuda says, I came up with a brand new chiddush. No one ever thought of this before, and it explained so much in dinim of truma. And it turned out it was the Tosfos Rid. The Nadav Yehuda didn't have access to the Tosfos Rid, that there are two mitzvahs when it comes to truma. There's a mitzvah safrasha, and there's a mitzvah nesina. So when you're doing the mitzvah safrasha, you make a bracha on the afrasha. Why is there no bracha on the nesina? So Pashto says, not like the Rashba says, no bracha on the nesina, because it's a mitzvah ben on the chavero. When you do a nesina, we never have mitzvah, you never have bracha on mitzvah ben on the chavero. You don't have a mitzvah giving tzedakah either, or because the person may turn it down. The person may say, I'm not interested in it. So if he's not interested in it, then it's not biyado to be mekayim. So Pashto says, that's why the bracha is on the afrasha. It's biyado, and that's your mitzvah of afrasha. But anyway, fifth answer now, how do I know that she doesn't go back to chaz v'shok of beis aviyah? V'rava amar, we learned it from ve'is chazeh tenufa ve'shok hatruma tochlu, that when it describes chaz v'shok, it says you have to eat it b'makom tar, ato uvanecha uvnosecha itach. So we darshan that a daughter eats chaz v'shok bizman she'itach, only before she gets married to Yisrael, but after she's already left her father's house and she marries Yisrael, she can never go back to chaz v'shok. Amar Ravad Barava, Tanak she chazeres lebeis aviyah, chazeres l'truma, ve'enu chazeres chaz v'shok. So we learned in this price that the bas kohen who goes back to her father's house goes back to truma but does not go back to eating chaz v'shok. However, as we pointed out before, b'shvil b'na'ah, if a woman who's a bas Yisrael and is eating truma on account of her son, chazeres on account of her son from a kohen, chazeres af chaz v'shok. As long as she's going to be eating truma on account of her son from a kohen, she's going to be eating chaz v'shok as well. So that's because this, all of these miyutim is about a bas kohen that goes back to a beis aviyah, but a bas Yisrael that eats on account of her son, none of these five drushas are going to apply, because all these drushas are from the pasuk about a woman going back li beis aviyah. If she's going back to her son who is a kohen, so then she goes back to chaz v'shok. So Azul Rav Mordechai Amr l'shmeit, Rav Mordechai said this brisa kamei de Rav Ashi. So Amr Rav Ashi said that this is difficult. Why a bas Yisrael who eats on account of her son goes back to eating chaz v'shok? Meicha kumis rabia? Where is she nisraba that someone has a ben? Where are we nisraba that someone has a ben from a kohen goes back to eating truma? Mi ubas? We derive it from ubas kohen, meaning we derive it from the extra vav in the pasuk about going back to the father. So mi adifa lamina? Meaning if the whole limud that she can eat truma on account of her surviving son from a kohen is based on the pasuk about going back to beis aviyah, so then it can't be that the surviving son from the kohen will give her more rights than beis aviyah would give her. So says Mar Nahasa by the bas kohen ksivi miyute. The pasuk has specific miyutim about chaz v'shok, like we just gave the five possibilities. But hacha, when we talk about going back on account of her son from a kohen, lo ksivi miyute. There are no miyutim in the pasuk that exclude her from chaz v'shok. So then we said in the Mishnah, bas kohen shenisis liyisrael, that if bas kohen marries the Yisrael and then the son from the Yisrael dies, she goes back to beis aviyah, she goes back to eating truma. So Tanur Rabban, we have a brisa, tells us as follows. Pasuk says that a bas kohen that whose husband, whose Yisrael husband dies and they don't have any children, v'shava el beis aviyah, the pasuk says. So from the fact that it says v'shava el beis aviyah, prat l'shomeres yavam, that excludes someone who's a shomeres yavam, that if her husband dies, her non-kohen husband dies without any children, and she needs yibum by his brother, she does not go back to eating her father's truma, because you can't say v'shava el beis aviyah, because she's still connected to that marriage, because she's connected to the yavam. Kinu reha, prat lemuberes. And when it says kinureha in the pasuk, that tells me that if she's pregnant from the Yisrael that is now deceased, she also does not go back to eating her father's truma, because that pregnancy still binds her a little bit to that marriage. You can't say she's kinureha, she's pregnant now. So I asked the Gemara, valodinu, why do I need the pasuk to be memayet bas kohen who's pregnant from the Yisrael from eating truma? Isn't it an obvious thing? It's a kal v'chomer. Uma b'makom shalo asa vlad min harishon k'vlad min hasheni. By Yibum, the pasuk does not treat a vlad min harishon like a vlad min hasheni, the potzer min a Yibum, to pater from a Yibum, meaning a woman who's married to a guy, and she has a son from him, and then he dies, and then she goes and marries someone else, and the husband dies, the second husband dies without any children, she requires Yibum from the second deceased husband's brother, and she's not, the vlad that she had from the first husband does not pater from Yibum, va'asu ubar, and nevertheless, asu ubar kiyalud, and nevertheless, if the woman was pregnant from the deceased husband, she does not require Yibum. So you see that the Torah considers a fetus to be a vlad of the woman more than a child from a previous marriage. So makom shasa vlad min harishon kevlad min hasheni. So in a case like achilas truma, where we treat a vlad from a previous husband like a vlad from the second husband, l'poslam min ha-truma, to pasul from truma, a vlad that a bas kohen has from her first husband who was not a kohen, pasul from eating truma, even if her second husband dies without any children, she doesn't go back to Beis Avia. Say no, did she not say uber kiyalid kal v'chomer, that the pregnancy that she's carrying is considered like a vlad to pasul from eating truma. So since we could derive from a kal v'chomer, I don't need a pasuk to tell me. So why does the Brisa require a pasuk to tell me that if she's pregnant, she doesn't go back to her father's truma? Says more low. You can't learn it from a kal v'chomer because there's a pircha in the kal v'chomer. Mali asa uber kiyalud linin yibum shari asa mesim kachayim. Yeah, we treat an uber like a yalud when it comes to yibum, because by yibum we find that we treat living like dead. That if after the husband dies, the son dies, the woman does not go back to yibum, because the son that's dead is considered as if the husband left zera, because he left that son, even though the son is right now dead. So nasa uber kiyalud. So in such a case, we're going to make an uber kiyalud because we treat a mace like a chai. But by truma, we look at how many children, whether the children are alive right now. We don't like make mesim kechayim. If she had a son from a Yisrael husband, and then that son dies, she does go back to her father's house. If she had a son from a Kohen husband, and she was a Bas Yisrael, then that son dies, she's possible to eat truma. So Talmud Omer kinureha prat lemu uberes. That's why I need a pasuk to tell me that prat lemu uberes, that a woman who's pregnant from her Yisrael husband does not go back to eating her father's truma when her husband dies. So now the Gemara explains why, once we have a drasha to be made a pregnant Bas Kohen from Yisrael from eating truma, does the Torah need to write a pasuk that if she has banim from the Yisrael that she doesn't go back to eat truma? Why don't we just learn from a kal v'chomer from Uberes? I mean, you have a Bas Kohen. We said that she marries the Yisrael. Good, she can't eat truma. Now the husband dies. So we said if she's pregnant, she does not go back to her father's house. So isn't it obvious that if she actually has a child from the Yisrael, she can't go back to the father's house? Why do I need a pasuk that if she has a child from the Yisrael, she doesn't go back to the father's truma? Even if she's just pregnant from the Yisrael, she doesn't go back to eat truma. V'isuk m'ichta m'ubaris, v'isuk m'ichta v'zera inla. We need both. V'ikas rachman v'zera inla. If it only would have said v'zera inla, we would not have learned from there that a m'ubaris does not eat truma, because it could have been dafka of vlad will pass her from eating truma. Meikar achad gufa v'ashtra trey gufi. Because originally when she was in her father's house, she was one body, and now she wants to go back, and she's coming back with a kid, so there's another person. But a pregnant woman who was one body and remains one body, maybe she should be able to see truma tzricha. So that's why we need the pasuk. And if it only would have told me about a muberes, because originally when she was by her father's house, she was an empty body. And now she's a full body, meaning now she's carrying a child. But if she has an actual child where physically she is now not carrying in her body anybody else, so she's just like she was kinureha, same hello. So tzricha, that's why I need both psukim to tell me that whether she has a child from her Yisrael husband or whether she's just pregnant from the Yisrael husband, she doesn't go back to eating her father's truma. So now the Gemara is going to ask four questions, and the siman is we could leave out the parentheses with the siman. So I'm going to review the midas karta l'rava lo nasa mesim kachayim in yibum. that when the husband died, that he had a son and she did not require yibum, and then the husband, the son dies, we should say that we should not treat him like a living child. We should require that she does yibum mikal v'chomer from achilas truma umab makom shas of vlad min arishim kavlad min hasheni leposlim min atruma. Even in the case of a truma, where we say that a vlad from the first husband is treated like a vlad from the second husband, as far as posling her from truma, that a vlad that a bas kohen has from her first non-kohen husband will possibly from eating truma, even if her second non-kohen husband dies without any children, she does not go back to eat truma. Lo asamesim k'chayim. We don't treat dead sons like living sons to apostle her from truma. That if her Yisrael husband dies and she has a son from him, and then her son dies, so she goes back lebeis aviyah. If she doesn't have any sons to show for it, so makom shelo asa vlad min arishon kavlad min hasheni lepotur min yibum. By yibum, where vlad min arishon does not pater from yibum from her second marriage, ein odin shelo nasa mesim kachayim, we should for sure not allow a deceased son to pater from yibum, which is a long way of saying that if a man dies with a child, and then the child dies afterwards, we should let her make her do yibum now, because now it turns out that the man died without any children. So it says, no, we can't do that. The pasuk is drachim or darchei noam. That wouldn't be darchei noam at all. Her husband dies, we tell her, you're free to go get remarried. She gets remarried, and then the child dies, and we say, oh, by the way, you weren't free to go get remarried, because now the deceased husband didn't leave a child. No, we have to pasuk in that moment, and nothing can change afterwards when the child dies. Nasa mesim chayim linyan truma mikal v'chomer, but why don't we treat mesim like chayim as far as truma is concerned, based on the kal v'chomer? Meaning, why is it that that when the son dies, it affects her truma status? Why don't we say that it's that once the son was ever there, her truma status remains the same? If we don't treat a vlad from the first husband like a vlad from the second husband as far as an exemption from yibum, and yet also mesim kachayim, we treat deceased children as good enough to pater from yibum, by truma, where we do treat a vlad min arishon like a vlad min hasheni, we should treat a deceased child like a living child as far as truma is concerned. Tam lomar v'zera ein la v'ha ein la. No, because there's a pasuk that says v'zera ein la, and if right now she has no children because they're all dead, so then it goes back to the dinim of eating truma as if she never had that child. So then a third question: v'nasa vlad min arishon k'vlad min hasheni li'inyan yibum. Why talk mikal v'chomer? Shouldn't we be able to say that if she had a son from a previous marriage, she shouldn't require yibum from a second marriage, even if the second marriage did not produce a son? Why? What's the basis of that? When it comes to truma, we don't treat deceased children like we treat living children, and yet vasa vlad min arishon kevlad min hasheni. But yet we are willing to say that having a vlad from a previous marriage still impacts her truma status, and her second marriage doesn't override that. So makom shasa mesim kachayim linin yibum. So by yibum, where we treat deceased children like living children, where if the husband dies and then the son dies, she still doesn't need yibum. So a vlad from a previous marriage should be like a vlad from a later marriage. So tam lomer ven ein lo v'ha ein lo. No, that's why we have a pasuk ven ein lo, that if this husband didn't have a son and he dropped dead, then she needs yibum. I don't care how many children she has from previous marriages. This husband didn't have a son. Final question. So ask the Gemara, why we should not treat a vlad from the first husband like a vlad from the second husband as far as truma, meaning a bas kohen who was married to Yisrael, and that Yisrael died without any children, and she has a son from a previous marriage, she should be kosher to go back to eating truma, even though she still has a Yisrael son from a previous marriage, based on the following kal v'chomer. If in the case of yibum we treat a deceased son like a living son, and yet lo asa vlad min arishon kivlad min hasheni, we don't treat a vlad from the first marriage like a vlad from the second marriage, meaning she's going to need yibum even if she has children from a previous marriage. So by a case of truma, makom shelo asa mesim kachayim linyan truma, by truma where we do not treat a deceased son like a living son, we look at what she has right now as far as children are concerned, so we should not treat a Vlad Min HaRishon like a Vlad Min HaSheni. As far as her Truma status, we should only look at her most recent marriage and see, does she have children from that most recent marriage? And if she doesn't, let her go back to eating her father's Truma. So Tamalomer, that's what the Pasuk says, Ein La, V'Hayesh La. No, Ein La is when she can go back to her father's Truma. But if she has a child, even if it's from a previous marriage and not the most recent marriage, so then she cannot go back to eating her father's Truma. So that brings us to the end of the ninth parak. So let's try to read at least the first few lines of the Mishnah in the tenth parak. A woman's husband went to the Medina Siyam, and they told her, your husband died, and she got remarried, and then the husband came home. She cannot be married to either her new husband or the previous husband. She needs gittin from both of them. She doesn't get a ksuba. She does not get reimbursed for the payrolls that her husband ate. She doesn't get any support. She doesn't get reimbursed for the worn out clothing. If she gets any of these benefits from either of these husbands, she's going to have to return those benefits. If she has subsequent children with either one of these guys, then the Vlad is going to be a mamzer. Velo zevze metamila, neither husband, if he's a Kohen, could be metamiter. Velo zevze zakom lo b'metziyasa, neither one is zoche to her metziya, velo b'maisiyadeh or maisiyadeh, velo b'farsandeh, nor could they be made for an adarim. Ha'is a bas Yisrael, nifsel min akuna, if she was a bas Yisrael, she becomes posel min akuna forever. U'bas levi min ha'maiser, if she's a bas levi, she becomes posel from maiser forever. U'bas koin min ha'truma, if she's a bas koin, she's never going to be allowed to eat truma. Ve'in yorshaza, Yarshin es ksubasa, and neither Yarshim are going to Yarshin her ksuba. If either one of these guys dies before they give a get, then they do chalitza and not yibum. That's the shita of the Tanakhama. Bezram tomorrow we'll pick up with the shita of Rabbi Yossi. Everyone have a wonderful day.